What's up, folks, and welcome back to the Engadget Podcast. I'm Senior Editor Devendra Hardawar. Joining me today is...
Deputy Editor Sherlyn Lowe. Hello.
Hello. This is a special bonus episode because we are just off of Google I.O., the day one keynote for Google I.O. 2024. Lots of AI news, lots of, everything they're doing. It's pretty much all AI. There was like a tidbit of Android. Android, we're going to hear more about tomorrow. But yeah, we're going to give a quick recap of everything that went on here. This is a bonus episode, folks, of the Engadget Podcast. But you can typically find us Thursday mornings, also recording live on our YouTube channel at around 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Subscribe to our channel. Subscribe to our podcast feed. Listen to the full episode. We'll probably have some deeper thoughts on Google then. But this is just our initial stuff. So, Sherlyn, I got to ask you. You have been running around
like a headless chicken.
Yeah, like a headless chicken for the past couple of weeks, just organizing all this news and figuring this all out. You have been like on the pulse of what was happening with Google. So Google I.O. just happened. We expect a lot of AI stuff. We got a lot of AI stuff. What is your big takeaway from day one of Google I.O. 2024?
The sense that I'm getting from everyone on our team and people in our live chat right now and people on, you know, Threads and Twitter is that, yeah, a lot of this AI stuff is, you know, curious, maybe even intriguing, but that a lot of it is stuff we kind of want to do as human beings anyway. You know, some of the stuff that Google was pitching in the announcements around its search products or even in Gemini, you know, is supposed to take the work out of, you know, activities that are both fun and work, right? So for example, if you're like planning a trip for your family, you know, Gemini and search can help you figure out the best itineraries, and some people actually prefer to plan these things on their own. We can get like more, you know, finer into the details later on as we talk. But I think my overall takeaway is that people seem underwhelmed. And I'm still coming out of the news like, you know, I've spent the last few days, like from Thursday all the way to today, which is Tuesday, just kind of chewing on all the news that I've been getting out piecemeal, bits and pieces of it. And, you know, Google had an on-record briefing on Monday, you know, yesterday, before the I.O. keynote, giving us a high-level overview of all of the stuff that it would be announcing this morning, and, you know, not in a lot of detail. And based on that briefing, I was trying to just, you know, my headspace was, okay, what's worth us breaking out as news? What is, you know, Engadget going to cover? As opposed to, like, kind of digesting it for myself. Like I said, the adrenaline is now leaving my body. I am hoping to get some sleep, but I think the thing that stood out most to me was Project Astra. And I, if you want to start somewhere, I would start with Project Astra though, but it is so interesting. It's
let's describe it. So they put up a video of it, and by the way, go check out all our coverage at Engadget.com. We have so much news, like, so we've been pounding away to our keyboards for a couple of days now on all this stuff. But Project Astra, first of all, this did not come from like the general AI people. It didn't come from the Gemini people. This came from the DeepMind folks, the CEO, the head of DeepMind. First time on Google I.O. came on to show off this thing, and Project Astra is sort of like, I think, the next level dream of what they want from generative AI and like also super smart virtual assistants. So we saw a couple demos of somebody walking around an office, and it's essentially, it isn't, you know, a thing looking through your phone's camera feed. And they're asking it questions like, you know, what do these two cats in a box look like? You know, what are some general questions of things happening around them? Hey, do you remember where I left my phone? And it remembers because it's capturing a video feed and saw their phone way back when. It's very natural. It's very useful, I'd say. And it also reminds me a lot of the OpenAI video we also saw yesterday. Shout out to OpenAI for really, just really cutting Google off at the knees here by announcing ChatGPT 4. Is it 4.0?
4.0, yeah.
Or 4. Is it for Omega? I don't know. That name is super annoying. But yes, OpenAI showed off a new, more conversational ChatGPT, and Project Astra is sort of like Google's thing of, I can imagine this being on a pair of like next generation smart glasses or something. You even noticed something about that, right, Sherlyn?
I did. During the demo video, DeepMind slash Google actually, there was a flash. There was like, if you kind of were not paying attention, you might have missed that they were using the pair of glasses that had a camera on board. It had like some sort of display. It was listening to the person's commands. There were like on-screen captions, that sort of thing. All kind of interacting with this Project Astra. And to be clear too, we don't know quite yet what Project Astra is or is going to be. Mm-hmm. It's not a device. It's not an app per se. It is an application. So I guess app is short form for application. So I guess technically it is. But it is sort of like a system, right? That takes an info through the phone or device's camera. And it's so, to me, the wildest part of the demo, which is like you've already described kind of what it does, right? It can, you know, look out your window and tell you what neighborhood you're in. It can like look at an equation on the whiteboard and help you make it, you know, better or something, or like, you know, tell you what code is doing on the monitor. But what really wowed me was when it was like the person holding up the phone was like, oh, do you know where I left my glasses or something like that, right? And the phone was pointing not at the glasses at all. It was just kind of looking in the other direction. And somehow Astra was able to be like, or Gemini and Astra was able to be like, oh yeah, they were on the table by the red apple or something. And the person had to turn around and be like, oh yeah, I'm also, you know, I found my glasses because of it. So it's clearly, it's while it's taking in this visual information, it is also contextually aware and storing that information for later on, right? And it's a lot of like that I just imagine that phone getting really, really hot because of like if you're storing all that like video info while you're doing all of that, it must take a lot of like on-device or whatever processing space. But it's why
it is, all I saw is like data processing, right? I saw like, oh, this is constant ingestion of video. This is constant also listening to you for commands, also going back to
your table,
the, you know, basically the AI servers, because this stuff isn't happening on device most likely,
right.
Although
it's
they showed off some new models that can do some of that. But it definitely, it showed me like between this and the OpenAI thing, everybody's like, hey, we really like Spike Jonze's movie Her. We want the virtual assistant from Her. We want to be able to talk to our assistants and everything. And you know what? Spoiler for that movie, the lesson of that movie wasn't that we should have these, you know, very personalized assistants. It is that maybe we should spend more time with each other as human beings to work on our own relationships. I could totally see a value for this. We've talked about on the podcast how I think we've spent a decade with virtual assistants like Siri and Google Assistant and Bixby, all these things that could listen to you when you say, hey, your name. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a basic fact? Can you tell me the weather? Can you tell me the traffic? Mm-hmm. And now we want something that is generally smart that we can sit with and talk with and do stuff with. And I think that the idea of doing it, right? I think the urge to build this is very real, because all of this stuff, and I'm just reading too much on AI right now. Like, I am certainly on the wave of like, I think a lot of this stuff is overhyped, and the people also pushing generative AI media creation stuff, and we'll talk about some of that from Google. I think a lot of that is kind of a crock. Like, that is not content people will actually want to see. But AI like this that genuinely helps you, AI that is transcribing stuff for you, AI that could help you out in daily computing life, I think that there is something there, you know, like what, where have we gone from computers, Sherlyn? We've gone from command line only, keyboards only. Okay. We got a mouse. Mouse made it a little more useful. We got a GUI. We got a graphical interface to really see what's on the screen. We got the internet to connect all these computers together. Like, it's like on and on and on. We got smartphones with touch screens. So touch became the thing. Eventually voice kind of became the thing in the 2010s, except it was like hobbled voice, right? It was a basic awareness of voice of very basic commands.
Yeah.
And to me, like, the next stage of computing is just like, hey, we want to be able to talk to these things and have them process information and do things for us, but also be under our control and also listen to us and not just deliver gibberish and false information, like actually be useful, like a good assistant. Yeah. So I think that sort of thing, that idea is real. Like, would you want that, Sherlyn?
I mean, how smart do we need them to be, though, is my question. And I think, you know, obviously it's a question that science fiction movies and stories and whatnot have asked over and over. And I fear we're reaching a point where maybe, you know, and to be clear, like, Google did talk about red teaming and responsible AI and safe AI and ethical AI and all of that good stuff near the end of I/O. At least at this keynote. We know that there's also, by the way, Google I/O is going to continue over the week. There's two keynotes coming up, one later this afternoon and one tomorrow about Android 15. So stay tuned for that. But near the end of the main keynote today, it was like, yeah, we're trying to make sure that this doesn't go awry. This doesn't, like, you know, spin out and become something completely dangerous. And I don't know that I need to use a lot of this stuff. Just felt like we didn't need to use it, right? Like another sentiment that I saw coming out of like our internal chat or elsewhere on the social media or on the internet, is why do we like search is already kind of looking different as it used to, you know, from Google's early
days. They showed off more Gen AI in search, like specifically too, and that's been tested for a while.
Yeah. Right. So AI overviews is a feature that's been in Search Labs for a little bit. It's now going to come out to all, you know, millions of users in the US, and you're going to be, you know, getting more AI generated summaries of results or just AI generated search results pages. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, according to Google, it was like people seem to be responding positively to these things. And I don't know. One of the questions that Carissa, when I was talking to her about this, our senior reporter, Carissa Bell, who's at I/O right now, we were saying that, like, wow, this is, you know, drastically going to change how people make money on the internet, right? Publishers on the internet. People like Engadget, you know, like
people who work for publishers or people who work for Engadget. Yeah.
What our revenue is so heavily dependent on like, people visiting our website, so then therefore our ads get seen and make money. What's that going to do if AI is just going to digest all of that information from our content and put it on Google search websites? Yeah. So,
but also AI needs that content to exist to digest it. So it's that you can't just say, oh yeah, you are useless journalist because AI is going to do it all. The AI is not doing a lot of the work. It is ingesting and like compiling a lot of work, but it's not thinking for itself. It's just chewing on the content that's already out there. So I agree, Sherlyn. Like, this is a new thing that we
I want to point out in the chat, and I know this is going to disrupt the flow ever so slightly, but there were a couple of people, including Paradise, who asked, did the Pixel 9 get announced? Paradise say that they missed most of it. No, there was no actual hardware news. I mean, I might have blinked and missed something, but there was no real hardware.
I didn't see any
news.
We were staring very hard at that feed. Yeah. So
no Pixel 9, but the Pixel 8a review did go up this week on Engadget.com. Go check that out. And then some knucklehead in the chat. That's their username. I'm not just calling them some knucklehead. your username, some knucklehead.
We have knuckleheads.
They said AI is to intercept all robocalls. And I will tell you this, the, you know, scam detection feature during calls that was announced during the Android portion of the keynote today definitely seems like a good use case of AI. Like, I love the Pixel, you know, call screening thing. I've talked about that endlessly. I also like that Google or Pixel is really good at screening for calls that are coming from spam numbers and whatnot and just filtering them. Just telling me afterwards, like, hey, we just blocked this call that seemed like it was a spam call. And I'm like, all right, fine. It's similar to iPhone, but iPhone still kind of has a phone ring anyway. It just tells you spam likely or scam likely. So it's not quite the same. But yeah, it was one application of Gemini or AI on Android that looked actually genuinely useful. Everything else other than Astra, I just didn't quite have strong feelings. I don't know, Devendra, did anything stand out to you?
I didn't really have. Listen, I wrote up a couple of things. I wrote up the new ImageGen 3, which is the text to image generation thing. I keep they call it Imagen 3. So
Imagen,
I keep in my
head. I see
head,
Imagen too.
I see Imagen.
Yeah.
But they say Imagen.
Yeah.
You're just confusing me with the spelling, Google.
You're just gonna think John Lennon, not Imogen Heap.
That's not, those are not my points of reference, but okay. But yeah, this is their new text image stuff. So they're like DALL-E 3 competition, and also VO, which is their new text to video creation thing, which can create up to, they say like over a minute, basically more than a minute of HD content, high quality HD content. We saw a couple examples of that. There's a demo video out there with Donald Glover and his creative studio. First of all, love that he has a creative studio. I want to be at the point in my like career where I can be like, I have a studio of creative, of just people who just sit around and are very creative, and that's all they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was this like cool studio and them like talking about what they can do with this. So they showed off some things, like they typed in like convertible entering, you know, a Tuscan villa or something like that, and it produced a really nice looking video of a car entering this thing, or Sailboat on the Ocean. It produced a very nice video of that. And Donald Glover said something that's like, you know, everybody should be a director. Everybody, this sort of thing will help us get our ideas out more easily. And it should, this technology like should be available to everybody. And I'm also a movie critic, you know, I'm also a cinephile. So like as this AI is like edging closer to literally recreating cinema, like just building cinema where you don't need to take a camera somewhere or go somewhere and actually shoot footage, there is good and bad to that. And I'm pretty sure Donald Glover, who is somebody who's very used to controversy in his career, like he is somebody, he caught flack for like that interview where he just interviewed himself at one point, which is just, you know, that's how hard hitting his own journalism will be, like him talking about himself and his own issues career wise and personality wise. Donald Glover was paid to do this, you know, and there are other artists that they brought on to, like Wyclef Jean. The sound, the AI sound studio thing that they are talking about. There are some clips of that on YouTube. Go check out our coverage because I embedded all of it in there. But they're talking about, how they're using AI to help make music, help make some tracks. Like one artist was like, it can help to fill out some beats where it's like kind of empty, like just fill out the sound of what they're working on. And right now in the creative medium, like artists, like directors, musicians, everybody is like very anti-AI. You know, the entire the writer strike that happened in Hollywood last year really centered on what the hell are you going to do about AI? How do we prevent AI from really coming in and taking over Hollywood? So I don't know about these tools because I don't know about the social good for them. I don't know like what it actually means for the creation of media. It looks like pretty footage, but I don't know if you ever like sit back and watch stock footage, Sherlyn, of just like empty footage of people, just like crowds and birds and whatever.
It's boring, right?
It's boring. So yes, this is fine stock footage from what I can see. Is it going to tell a story? I was not hyped up at all about the Sora stuff from OpenAI. You know, I saw some people on Twitter, especially the like big old tech bros, getting really crazy about the Sora stuff, but it was just pretty footage of nice looking video, but nothing actually connected. Like there were also stories that the OpenAI footage, it took a lot of tweaking to make usable footage because it was also spewing a lot of gunk at certain points too. I don't know how to feel about that. So VO, the music creation stuff, the image generation stuff, those are fun toys. You know, they ended this the keynote with a musical number about like you can prompt anything, which is the most cringe thing I've seen from Google in a very long time. But one person was just like in a laundromat, I was like, hey, a cat flying off to space, right? Like fun images. This stuff is cool, but not like life-changing, right? It's not going to change the way you live. It's not going to change the way that you compute. You may play around with it a little bit and forget about it, right?
Sure.
Like that stuff I don't really care about.
I mean, so can we talk, like, take a moment to talk about, like, something a little bit more fun, which is the, and Eric in our live chat pointed out, Mark Rebillet, I don't know how to pronounce their last name, Rebillet, the intro by the DJ, or this, I think Sam in our live blog was referring to him as Loop Daddy, the opening was just using music effects, if I am not wrong, to generate loops and, you know, little rhythms and beats and that sort of stuff, and kind of doing live demos of that feature, making interesting music. And he's been there before in past IOs, and it was always kind of interesting. This year it got kind of creepy, just to be honest with y'all. In the live chat, y'all can tell me if you agree. I thought it was, he went at some point, he went, Google, and I was like, I do not, this is not, you're like my sleeper.
This is the sound of the apocalypse coming towards us.
Exactly. I also want to point out that Declan in the chat says they have AI that can scan everything around me to tell me where I put it down and listen to all my calls to tell me it's a scam call. Did they address privacy concerns about all of this monitoring? And that's the same
thing. They kept saying, we're trying to be safe.
They've been saying this over and over again, that none of your requests are stored, none of your, you know, even though the processing is happening in the cloud, it's not going to be intercepted. I don't know if they came out and said end-to-end encrypted. They might have. I can't remember offhand.
They did not say it directly, but they really should be touting that, if that is a thing.
If that is a thing. I'm just saying that I can't remember in the zillions of pages of documents I've read in the last few days that, whether I saw that. But I will say
they
that,
say specifically on the stream that your any documents you provide, like anything you're asking questions about, it is not training future AI. It is not saved. Yeah.
Yeah. And even on like Google Photos stuff, it was like, you know, the same privacy and security measures that have been protecting your Google Photos uploads and stuff like that apply here as well to things like Ask Photos. Ask Photos is, by the way, something that I covered out of Google I/O today. And I actually thought it was an interesting feature and could be very helpful. And actually is like one of the more like mainstream slash consumer ready features. Ask Photos actually is going to be a new tab in the Photos, Google Photos app. And, you know how you already have the search bar in, like, Google Photos. And I don't know about how y'all use it, but I'm always in, like, Google Photos, whether it's, and also, to be honest, my iPhone Photos app, okay? I'm there searching for credit card, passport,
Singapore, health insurance card.
Noodles, exactly. Health insurance card. Like, those important documents, but also, like, where did I find this amazing food? When was the last time I had pizza? And so basically with Ask Photos, you can do that in a more, I guess, natural language way with Google Photos. And actually, when you when it does roll out, which is a company, the company said in the coming months, you can opt in. And if you do opt in, your search bar will be replaced by Ask Photos. However, your like little search interactive experiences, like the people, the face circles, those that like, you know, how you search for people in your photos, and the map sort of interactive visual thing, that's not going away. It's more the way you ask or find a certain image or set of images from photos will be different. Ask Photos will also do things like help me find the top five, you know, pictures that I took at national parks or like all of that stuff. That is another feature that Ask Photos will be able to do thanks to generative AI versus what's already available through the search bar in Photos, which by the way, Photos was already and always pretty AI powered. It was one of the first like photo aggregation.
That was more like computer vision stuff. Yes, so like, yeah, like at some point,
labeling and identifying faces and like using GPS information for fate, like for
the
locations.
Stuff that initially got Google in trouble, by the way, because this was the technology that was labeling black people as animals, as apes, So they had to go back and fix that. But that is the sort of, that's where we are, right? We've gone from that thing, and that's what people remember about computer vision and Google stuff to now, hey, these things are talking to you, and these things are doing things for you and doing stuff with natural language. Let me ask you about, what was it, Gemini Live. So we saw a bunch of Gemini things, and there is Project Astra, which will come at some point. I don't know. But Gemini Live is kind of a thing that is actually coming and looks like it could be useful. It is a mobile thing where you can enable Gemini and just, like, talk to it and have conversations. And the examples Google gave was like, hey, if you were prepping for a job interview, you could open Gemini and just like start talking to it and maybe ask it some questions like, hey, can you help me prepare for this job interview? Like you would a friend. You know, maybe they'd ask you some questions. Maybe
and you could interrupt like, it. Check on, like I'm interrupting you,
interrupt
right now.
It. Like, yeah. Like Sherlyn always interrupts me. No.
I don't always. You interrupt me.
Yeah. It's but just like you speak to your friends or interrupt your friends, you could do that with Gemini Live. Is that something that you would actually want to use, Sherlyn? Because that seems potentially useful for people.
I think that what's impressive there is the is how far the natural language simulation has come.
Yes.
I wouldn't, if I wanted to talk to my friends, I'd be like, look, I'm the sort of person when I talk to my friends, I'll be like, oh my God, what personality type are you? Like, how are you and your boyfriend getting along? What are these, like, I ask about the goss, right? And I don't think Gemini Live, however good it is there to like do that for me. It's more to serve a purpose. And I think I already have my like support systems in place where like if I need a specific suggestion or tip or whatever, I know exactly where to go to get it. I'm not the sort of person where my instinct is to talk to a faceless,
I think, first of all, humble brag, Sherlyn, you have friends. You have a social support network.
Giant network of friends. Wow. Thank you.
Wow.
Amazing. I also... I also want to say that like I wasn't like done with Astra by the way. So like Astra was interesting. We saw I was most impressed by the like ability to come back and look for something. But Astra, to quote both like CEO of DeepMind as well as Sundar during like a briefing, they both said that like while Astra isn't going to come out in some sort of official capacity just yet, it features of or like sort of components of Astra are coming out to Gemini Live, which is what we saw in that demo, right? But also like I think Sundar and again Demis Hassabis of CEO of DeepMind were both like you can see the sort of path that Google Lens took from a sort of you know early days kind of buggy test sort of feature and a standalone app right and how it's become more embedded now into the camera app into search that sort of thing that's, I think, where they imagine the trajectory of Astra and how it's going to end up in the rest of Google's products. So, you know, even though it feels very, like, far away right now, Astra is going to come, I think, to the rest of the Google ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And Gemini Life being part of that, so.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing basically bits of their ideas, right? Like the next Gemini models, where Astra could actually fit in. The thing for Gemini Live, they're saying eventually they will enable the camera, so Astra Live can also see around you. So maybe it could judge your outfit. Maybe it could give you some fashion advice, like the Twitter fashion guy or something.
Fashion advice? No, I'm kidding.
I don't know, folks. is there anything else you want to shout out from this keynote, Trillin? Like, there's so much news. Go to Engadget.com, everybody. Like, we have written up a whole bunch of things. But it's AI all the time. One thing I want to point out is, like, Google really needs help putting on an event. Or at least, yeah, like, organizing the keynote in a way that is not boring as hell. Because when you're talking about AI and AI models and the amount of, like, things it can hold and, like, it gets a little technical. This is, yeah, not as bad as some Microsoft Build keynotes I've been to where they're getting very excited about coding live on stage. Yeah. But it is, like, sort of like the audience was not excited. Like, I could, when the camera eventually shot to people in the audience, I was like, oh, that person's fully asleep. Big yawn over there. And these are, like, Google people. These aren't just, like, general audiences.
I think
nobody's clapping at the joke. Sundar's early joke, like, oh, this is, like, their Eras tour.
Yeah, Gemini Silence. Era. They're in their Gemini era. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I thought it was cute, you know, the first time I heard it.
yes.
And I actually, there's a lot of things going on in chat that I want to, like, refer to in a little bit. But I want to point out that, like, at the end of the keynote, Sundar also made a joke, like you said. How many times was AI mentioned during this keynote? 120 times. And had I played the drinking game with that, I would be completely wasted and not on this live stream right now. But one of our writers, Chris Holt, did up a What to Expect at Google I.O. post. And his guess in that post was that it was going to be 150 mentions of AI. And you know what?
Very
it's
close.
Surprising he wasn't that far off. 100 and something mentions of AI. I guess given it was about
Price is Right
long.
Rules, he would not be eligible. He went over, but
yeah,
it is very close.
Yeah.
It is very close.
Quickly in chat too, Mark Bell said, can I have an AI watch the new Garfield movie and give me a biting critique in podcast form? And I just want to say, Mark Dell, what do you have against us?
That's our job.
That's my job. Why do you want AI to take my job, Mark Dell? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Think about yourself.
Will certainly, once the Garfield movie comes out, the AI, you could just say, hey, what's up with that Garfield movie? And it will ingest all the stuff that people have written about it and come up with the thing.
Summary.
And then it makes you think AI is smart.
Black Villain in the chat says, very disappointed by no fold to announcement or launch. The screen on your Pixel 6 Pro randomly shattered last night. Maybe it's time to buy a Pixel 8 or 8A. Again, review on Engadget.com.
Or maybe wait
I don't
a couple
know
months.
About the fold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about but I know it came last year or last
was
IO.
Was it Pixel Fold last year or 2 years ago?
Last IO. And the Pixel Tablet was also the last IO. And then they also did tease up the Pixel 8 series at IO, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Mark was asking, do they usually announce phones at Google I.O.? Not usually. Sometimes they do a series. Sometimes they did, like, the Fold. I think it's just when they introduce something new and different, they do it in there.
I think people expect phones closer to the fall, so, like,
exactly
before iPhones or something, Google will be like, hey, we have phones too, don't forget about us.
Exactly. Paradise said, do we think AI will be set more at WWDC than today? Probably not, right? And you know what?
Mm-mm.
I bet we will. I'm on the record right now as my official bet at WWDC we will hear the word AI uttered under 100 times, if
50
even that.
times,
yeah,
50 to
under
75
50
times, because they Apple
might
even, has more chill.
They would never
it,
say
right?
AI. If they ever said anything, they would say it like 50. 50 is even a generous guess. They might say it like 10 times. Uh-huh. They'll find another way to say it.
I mean, listen, we were there covering the last WWDC together, Shirley, and Apple did talk about things like the transformer model being used to make the keyboard a little better and make the transcription a little better. They never did say AI, even though they were within their means to say, like, hey, we have an AI-powered keyboard now, and it's going to be a little more accurate. They never did say that. So Apple is a little more
they find
like,
a way
chill
around it.
And judicious. Yeah.
Yeah.
But everyone's expecting a lot of AI stuff from them. So I guess that's the table setting, right? We see what Google's working on. Lots of AI. They're very excited about it. OpenAI is like, well, we got something better that's going to come even sooner, you know, that is weird and flirty and will talk to you as well. And now we're all waiting to see what Apple does. We're waiting to see what Microsoft does too, because Build is next week. So yeah, I will be covering that, and we'll be writing up all that news. I don't know. Yeah.
We're going to be struggling, y'all. But meanwhile, we're going to try to wrap this stream soon. I know it's only been a minute, but it's already been like 30-something minutes. Markdell said that he wants a sassy AI that just always disses how you dress and your choices. Pay me that money, Mark, and I'll do it for you. Mark and Paradise and everybody were making jokes about AI clapping or slapping. Markdell did clarify afterwards that instead of having AI replace us, you actually just want to force AI to watch the new Garfield movie, which, like, mm-hmm. you and AI, y'all go figure out your relationship. This is not my business. Declan asked, did Sundar ask the AI to tell him how many mentions of AI there was? I don't think so. I think they actually painstakingly went through their script to be like, oh, yes. We said it 120 times. Just so many good questions here. We've got, like, again, Mark asking if Apple will come up with a new cool phrase to say instead of AI. Big Money Sunny. I like your name. Big Money Sunny says, well, AI or Gen AI is pretty much the talk. I get it. It was supposed to be less techie for us tech folks. It was pretty interesting. I guess I'll wait. I'll have to wait for the GCP conference. Mark, you got to stop saying funny things, because then I had to keep saying things that you said. But Deepro9 says ChatGPT 4.0 can sing now, which it is the creepiest thing. It just feels
it's
so
very
creepy.
That whole ChatGPT 4.0 video is very weird, because it's sort of like, are you flirting with me, AI? Are you flirting with the person in this video? Because it's very like, oh, you're so funny, ha ha ha, nice hoodie, oh, it's adorable. You can imagine ChatGPT 4.0 like curling its hair between its fingers, like, I'm very into you, person who is talking to me. And that is weird. I think the response to that is weird. We'll be diving into a lot of this in the podcast. What should these AIs sound like? I see Mark Dell has an Australian Siri. And I also have an Australian Siri to me, that is a very soothing accent. So that is how I end up choosing it.
Yeah, I would just be too excited every time it talks. I'd just be like, no, I can't. I would be so distracted.
Your English accent. ChatGPT voice. Yep, yep, yep. Anything else?
Albert in the chat says, doesn't Apple usually say machine learning instead of AI anyway? True facts.
They do for things that are actually machine learning. So when we're talking about like the photo image recognition stuff,
precise use of terms.
Computer vision is technically more like machine learning. And I suppose you could say generative AI is also machine learning, because it's learning, it's a machine learning and all this stuff. But we use different terms because it is using a whole different model, the transformer model, to basically make sense of large data sets. So that's the difference there. That's why we're trying to like separate the way we talk about that. Apple has only ever talked about machine learning because they have not had generative AI stuff to really dive into.
Yeah. I think we need to start welcoming everyone to leave their goodbyes and actually leaving questions for us to answer on the Engadget podcast live stream that's happening on Thursday morning at about 10:30 a.m. Eastern, because we might need to wrap this up. Today has been a very long day.
We need to chill.
Eternity. Need a bit of a break. And Mark asks a good question, which is that when are we going to have an iPad video review? I will answer that question on Thursday. Maybe you can come back.
Maybe on Thursday. Videos, unfortunately, take a long time, which is why I guess everybody's interested in doing
I gotta
video
just tell
AI
you this.
Now. Yeah.
The iPad Pro and Air reviews went up on Monday alongside the Pixel 8a review on Monday as
Too
well.
Much.
Do you think we had the time between the announcement on Tuesday to even write a review? And those of you asking for my voice in AI, this is what you're getting. Anyway.
As your AI will just be like super stressed and be like, I'm it's too much. I was not built to handle all this data. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, folks, thank you all for joining us. Drop us an email at podcast@engadget.com. We could talk about it on the Thursday show. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you get podcasts. And thanks for joining us. Sherlyn, any closing thoughts?
Just come back on Thursday, because my brain's broken.
Come back on Thursday, folks.